This is Riverside Radio, WRVR-FM in New York. Listen. Listen as composer Todd Dachstetter discusses with WRVR's director of music, John C. DeWitt, the process of composing electronically produced organized sound.
I think most people think of that sound as perhaps being musical because they're used to hearing it in science fiction, and they may be used to hearing it even in electronic music by other composers.
Yes, that's the usual sound. That's the electronic sound.
And what I'm here to find out is what a composer does to get these sort of sounds organized and in some fashion a composition.
Right.
And also to find out why you go in for this sort of thing.
That's a question I don't think I could answer, anyone could. But I can answer the first one about how the things are, the parts of a composition and how they're made. We'll go wind this tape back and...
Well, most interviews take place in the studio. Here we're in the control room. No, but what I really mean is, why do you compose this as opposed to some other form of music or form of art? What is it that draws you to these sounds and these ways of making sounds into a artistic whole?
Well, in my case, it's a little less pure than a person who simply decided he wanted to be a composer and had studied music and then heard or came in contact with electronic music, liked it, and decided to turn his training to that.
Everyone I've ever known has done it that way.
That's the way it's always been done, as far as I know. There may be somebody else in the same situation I'm in someplace. But in my case, I started out engineering, mixing, editing first, and about the time I'd learned that, the first electronic music that I heard, well, in fact, the first electronic music I heard was the old Musique Concrète. And because of the engineering knowledge I had some idea how they'd done it. In other words, I could listen to it and tell some of the things they'd done and how they'd done it. And I thought, well, it's the old thing, I can do that. And I began working on the thing, and I got caught up in it. And I found that I could do it, or at least I thought I could do it. And I just started going into it that way.
Do you call it electronic music, or do you call them electronic pieces?
No, I don't call it electronic music. To me, electronic music is it's very hard. Everyone refers to it as electronic music. I mean, that's the whole title. But what I call it is organized sound. Organized sound is really what it is, especially in my case, because I don't use just oscillators. I use many, many sounds, and so it really is organization of sound.
But there must be elements which control the structure of the organized sound that you're composing. Now, it could be done by combining sounds in such a way that you get harmony and melody and rhythm in a very traditional way. And in some of the Dutch composers of electronic music have done just that. But you're not doing that. But what are the elements structurally that go into your music? Now, I'm talking about the kinds of sounds, because we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, how do you organize a piece of music in terms of its form, in terms of it having a cohesiveness?
Well, I suppose that because I've had no schooling traditional music, I, in a way, start back where I suppose hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands, where the first guy who picked up a rock or something started. To me, music is just very simply a matter of tension and release. It's even writing is that you have the same problem. You have the same problem in the theater. That's what you're doing, really, is you're building a kind of tension, even if it's very, you know, mild, and then you have a kind of release out of that tension. Now, my music, I suppose, has a little more, because I just tend, and the nature of these sounds is usually so energetic that my music possibly, I put more tension into it. I think, in a way, the stuff I do is traditional music in that I'm trying to make it satisfy me in the same way that a piece of orchestral music that someone else had done would satisfy me. And that's very difficult to talk about. What, you know, what is it that satisfies you? But it's a matter of it's a timing, energy, drive, balance, you know, all these things are not musical terms, I'm afraid. But
no, but they're terms of art and form, and I think that's enough. All right, let's forget about traditional music and find out what the elements are that go into this. We have a tape which Mr. Duckstadter has put on some of the simple elements which he uses in composing these pieces. The basic instrument is an oscillator. Explain, if you can, for just a moment what that does.
Well, an oscillator is, in all my pieces, as I say, I use a lot of different sounds, but one thing I use in almost everything I've done since the earliest pieces I did is an oscillator. And an oscillator is has almost become a musical instrument. The way oscillators are set up in some places, for instance at the Columbia Princeton Center, or in Europe, they are tempered instruments. And you can play music that, which no one would argue with on them. But I use a straight, simple little laboratory oscillator.
Actually, I think if we thought of an electronic organ, like a Hammond organ, something, that's a set of oscillators,
that's
which
right.
are all tempered and tuned.
That's right. Right. Yes, it is an electronic instrument. And in a way, you could say if you played the Happy Farmer on electronic or a Hammond organ, it'd be electronic music.
Yeah. But let's get a very simple sound here.
Yeah, all right. Here's a simple sine wave. First you'll hear one note and then another note added to it.
But these are tones that are pure. They have no
pure
overtones.
Tones. Like a tuning fork. The sine wave is a very simple thing, and I find it fairly dull. Can be interesting, but as a general tool. It's a little too simple.
It's like primary color.
Yeah, that's right. And so what you do is you turn it into a square wave. Now, that doesn't mean anything. We call it a square wave because on an oscilloscope, if you look at this sound, it's square.
Oscillator.
Well, another thing you can do with an oscillator is you can make it pulse very rapidly or very slowly. It's like a snap almost. You can hear it. You can change tempo. It's a very useful tempo device, in fact.
It has a rhythmic element.
Yes, yes, very much so. New series of pieces, and this is a little what I would call a tango, for lack of a better term, but it uses it's almost entirely of oscillators, or actually one oscillator used in many ways, and you'll hear the pulsing and the different elements in it, so I'll play that. Many different lines in there, and different tempos playing against each other, and they're prepared singly, almost like lines on a paper.
What we heard at the very beginning of the program was what you have here in the tape next, but that's already processed, and then following that we have the slower version.
That's right.
Let's just put that on. How is that done?
Well, it's done very slowly, very, very slowly, and at octaves lower.
Each one of these notes has to be done separately and then
have
to be sort of joined together by splicing the tape.
Exactly. Note by note they're done. And as I say, here's an example. Still sped up, but this is more like it. That's That's the same melody, but it's in nearer to its original form.
Let's see, what do we have next?
Again, this is one oscillator played originally very, very slowly and much lower than this, and then overdubbed.
One of the problems I don't think we can solve it here is the, you know, how you actually build it up. It would be like a composer watching the composer as he wrote the score out, and it's just too long a process for us to really understand.
Yes, with a composer, if you wanted to watch him, you'd have to spend day after day with him, I think. Yeah. And it's the same thing with me.
But it's a very painstaking process. To what extent, once you get some of these pieces together, the parts, is it a matter of, in a sense, sitting down at the tape recorders and the mixing board and so on, and almost playing the composition?
Yes, well, in a way, I suppose I could appear on a stage with the 5 tape recorders and perform, in a way, because although half of it is footwork, well, this thing we just heard, this little conclusion of Luna Park, was actually, when I came in here to mix it, what I call mix it, which is a step in composition, of course, but the final combination. It was on 1, 2, 3 different tapes, I think, at different lines of this little melody, little counterpoints, different things, accents that I wanted. And in a way, I decide then what's going to be the strong line? At what point will it merge with the next line? And doing this, I simply stop and start tape recorders, rewind them, change levels on this board, and in a way it's kind of a performance of the giant Wurlitzer sort of thing, except it's full of stops and starts. It isn't a complete performance. It's a very slow process. It sounds effortless when you play the final thing, and that's the way I want it to sound. I think it's great, you know, there's a lot of sawing and chopping wood sort of in writing music, but when you hear it, you don't want to hear that effort.
You have some sounds on the tape of laughter and what you can do with it.
Yes, this is again Luna Park, an earlier piece of mine, and laughter is to me a musical sound. Oh, well, let me play one. You can do different things. In every case, what you try and do is bring out the music in it, or at least what I try and do is bring out what I think is the music in it. Take it a little bit more away from the immediately identifiable thing. Another thing you can do with it, again trying to bring out the line, the melody, is add tape echo. And this is the same laugh, but sped with tape echo.
Have you got a section from one of the pieces that shows some of the
yes,
combinations using laughter?
That's right. This is the beginning of Luna Park.
Right. Thank you. One of the advantages, I suppose, of this work is that you have the whole world of sound to deal with.
Everything, absolutely, everything that you can do. But there's a whole world of musical instruments and what you could do with them, which I haven't explored because I'm not able to get at them, and I certainly can't play them. But I could probably play them well enough for my purposes.
Well, what's next on the tape?
Well, the next thing is the same idea of a natural sound, which I change. Now, in this case, it's a musical instrument, although I don't know if you could call this thing a musical instrument. The closest thing I'll probably ever come to a musical instrument, and it's a piece of bamboo, which cost a quarter, and it's punched with holes. Unfortunately, the holes are punched more or less at random. And again, like my oscillator, it's not tempered. It plays notes that are not on pitch. They're not tuned. I'll blow a little of it here. It won't sound like much, I'm afraid. Sounds dreadful.
What happens to it when it gets on?
Well, again, you can do many, many things. One thing you can do is slow it. And here's a little, very slow melody with the same flute I played. Increases that. When you slow something down, you begin to hear overtones that you couldn't hear before. You hear the wind a little bit.
The sub-octave.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's never quite on. That's that same little flute I played. But here's an example, I'll play just a little of it, of a use of the slowed flute. And this is again from Luna Park, and it's in the middle. It begins with the laughter.
Thank you.
This is Listen, Essays in Sound to explore a world of ideas and evoke a variety of moods. Tonight, composer Todd Dachstadter discussed with WRVR's director of music, John C. DeWitt, the process of composing electronically produced organized sound. Listen is produced and recorded by the Radio Repertory Unit of WRVR, the FM station of the Riverside Church in the city of New York.
Space, and I mostly have lunar.
Lunar, rather than one of the nations, yeah.